Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
You can't win. You can't win. Good Friday morning, everybody. Hope your Friday morning is off to a fantastic start. Get ready for a fantastic weekend along the way. And that's exciting, Key. You could get excited. You could get in shape in just a couple of days. That's good news. He's having trouble getting connected right
now. He's working out as we speak. He's in the gym. He's finishing up those last sets, those last reps. He's getting ready, man. He's not ready for the show. He's ready to be in shape.
LZ, you've been doing it wrong all along. See, you had an opportunity to get in shape in a couple of days, and you've been doing it your whole life. See, you've been doing it all backwards. You could have done it in 2 days.
Yeah, I think LZ is in the gym with him. He's in there.
What in the world is going on? Can I just unplug?
They're both getting ready, man. So, I mean, Travis, who do you got? I mean, I don't know if you weighed in on this in the Jorge and Keyshawn battle.
John said it really well. I don't know if anybody ever really appreciates the professional athlete as much as they probably should, and just the physicality that goes along with being a professional athlete. When I saw, and this was before I came on the show, when I saw Key jump up on the table flat-footed one morning, I'm like, oh, right, right. I forgot that he's one of those dudes. I forgot that he's one of those guys that could just stand up after eating his bag of potato chips and jump 3 feet in the air and bam, land on the table. That's when I knew that it was a totally different dynamic. No, of course Key would win. Key's got what on George? 100 pounds and 11 inches? I mean, it's not even close.
But MMA expert Ariel, well, is that how you say his name?
Ariel Helwani.
Helwani, he actually handicapped a fight. We'll hear some sound from that later. He brought up a good point. He said, but Georgia is lower to the ground. Sedano's lower to the ground. And, you know, most fights end in a grappling match and someone's going to the ground. And he said, since Key is so tall and lanky, that would be a disadvantage for
that's
Key
fine.
He
that's
took,
fine.
He took
he
Sedano.
It can go to the ground and all those things. There's also a reason that they have weight divisions in professional fights. There's also a reason you don't put a 150-pound guy in a ring with a 200-pound guy, because the 200-pound guy is going to break the 150-pound guy's neck.
I think LZ's back from the workout. LZ, how was it spotting Keyshawn? How was it?
It's a lot of weight to move around. It's just a lot of weight to move around. I'm not used to working with that kind of weight, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah. It really put a strain on me. I'm going to have to find some Advil for my back.
Are you working as like a personal trainer at this point? What are you doing?
I was just trying to get him to step left and right without tripping over his feet.
No, he's fine.
We're at the very basics.
I'm not worried about Key in this deal. How are you, LZ?
I'm well, man. I am so good. I just, I had a couple of really productive meetings yesterday on Zoom. I did a little bit of television. My thing now, guys, is that I wear my little cap on my head when I don't feel like retwisting my own locks. And I was like, oh, I'm just kind of working this whole hippie roster kind of vibe during the quarantine time. When the truth is, I just didn't bother doing my hair.
There he is. We thought maybe you were doing a lap around the block before you came on to get ready for your fight.
Fight with who?
Come on, man.
Come on, man, please. Y'all can listen to that MMA guy if y'all want to. George get his ass whooped. Y'all laughing. Y'all thinking it's funny.
It is funny.
It is.
I don't play games like that. George ain't got a chance, and I ain't even worried about it.
He can go
Mitch martial arts. He can do all that he want.
Travis, you've been ringside. Garage, me, we've all been ringside when the big bad champion said, man, that guy doesn't have a chance, and then boop.
Yeah, but the big bad champion that gets caught is also not fighting a guy that's 100 pounds lighter than he is. There's a reason. We were talking about it before you guys got reconnected. There's a reason there are weight divisions in professional fights. And if you're going to put a big guy against a little guy, the big guy's going to win. And if the big guy's a professional athlete and the little guy isn't, it's going to be ugly.
Yeah, I'm not even really worried about his size or any of that sort of stuff. It's one of those deals where my will alone, I'm not going to let that dude beat me. I'm just looking at him alone. Like, come on, man. Stop.
Are you going to stare him to death? What are you talking about?
Might work.
Just the fact. That's like me saying I'm going to lose a fight to Raj, man. Just looking at him.
Anything's possible.
How you going to lose to a dude that even looked like that? Stop. Please.
Look like what?
Man, I'm not about to trash talk, man. It's just like when I play football and I went on the field and I saw somebody in some turf shoes that just wasn't on the shelves in Foot Locker no more. I had to ask them, man, what you wearing? That's how I view people that are like a George and a Raj. Like, man, stop. Like, I'm not gonna lose to you. Like, you setting this narrative on a radio show and that hype and all that. I get it. But I'm not going to lose to you. Like, there's nothing on God's earth that will tell me that I'm getting ready to lose anything to you. Like, come on. Like, you're not. He's a non-athlete, man. Stop. Fourth quarter, George. Man, stop that, please.
He's an athlete. He's got four black belts and two light-skinned ones.
I know.
Karate instructor, too, I believe.
Yeah, okay. That dude don't even walk on his tippy toes right. Stop.
I didn't know that was a prerequisite to be.
When you walk a certain way, when you get off the bus, you got to be a certain way. If he getting off the bus, people are gonna say, "Hank, get my bags for me, man," because they think he the manager of the team. Stop.
I guess that puts it into that. We'll see. We'll see when we get back together. Who knows? Who knows how it's all gonna shake out? We got The Last Dance coming up on Sunday night, 6 o'clock, right here on ESPN. You can get caught up on 1 through 8 if you've missed any of those along the way on the ESPN app, and of course on ESPN On Demand as well. What are the expectations going into the final two? We know we're going to see the shot over Brian Russell. We know we're going to see the final championship. What else are we going to see in the final two episodes of The Last Dance? Because the first 8 went by really quickly, and I can't believe we're at the end of the line.
I really hope that we have an explanation. I'm still waiting for an explanation for the quote-unquote flu game, because from all the things that I've been told, it wasn't the flu. It was actually just food poisoning. Not that that's a great feeling, but I am curious to see if they're going
What's
to address
difference?
That game.
The man was sick.
There's a difference between the flu and food poisoning, man.
If you're sick, you don't feel good. What difference does it make?
The bathroom floor, you're about to die. I mean, it's all the same, right?
It's the same thing. That's crazy for somebody to say.
And it's not the same thing. It's crazy to think the flu and food poisoning affects the body the same way. I'm not saying he wasn't sick. All I'm asking for is just the story behind it, because there's a story that he ate a pizza and no one else ate that pizza, and that's the reason why he got sick.
Man,
and so I'm just wondering if he's going to joke about it or talk about they try to.
And I may be able to catch it.
I'll be honest. I've had, obviously, we've all had food poisoning. We've all had the flu. I'd take the flu over food poisoning any single day of the, because you can't move. I mean, you're on the bathroom floor, you're cooked, you've got it going. I don't even want to get into the gross part of it, but there's nothing you can do. The flu, you can usually kind of muscle through if you absolutely have to. Food poisoning puts you on your back.
Yeah, as I said, I just want to hear the story because I want to know if it's going to be a joke. Because as I said, the reports are they had ordered a bunch of pizzas, and there was this one piece in particular that had like some stuff on it, and nobody else wanted it except for Jordan. So he was the only one that ate that pizza, and they assumed that's the reason why he got sick. So I'm just curious if they're making a joke about it.
We will ask David Falk, who is, of course, Michael Jordan's agent. He is going to join us at 8 o'clock this morning so he can give us a little insight into that. What are you looking forward to seeing, Key?
I just want to get to the – well, you know, I want to see – where does Scottie Pippen thing goes if, in fact, he gets into the contract money and at the end of the day they say, you know, they didn't pay you, you're gonna get your money, you're going to get out of here? Because it seems like this. It seems to me from everything that I'm reading is that they're getting ready to feature Scottie pretty heavy in these next two episodes.
Yeah, Scottie's had a weird ride through this thing. Simultaneously, he's the greatest teammate I've ever had, according to Michael Jordan, and he's taken some shots through it as well. Obviously, the game that he sat out, the headache, all of the other things. So Scottie's got a couple of episodes to get back on top for sure. All right, we'll get into The Last Dance. We'll talk more about some of our favorite parts of that series. And, of course, I think most of us are on the page that Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time. But who is number two? Jalen Rose says that we've got it all wrong. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. So with episodes 9 and 10 coming this weekend, we're going to put the finishing touches on The Last Dance. It has been, I think, what most of us were hoping it would be. It's been absolutely phenomenal. It's a great opportunity to kind of go back and watch the greatness of Michael Jordan. And I think for a lot of us that maybe were maybe leaning towards LeBron a little bit as far as the conversation of who's the greatest player of all time, it's kind of re-cemented Michael Jordan as his position there. And until the LeBron documentary comes out 10 years from now, 20 years from now, I think that Michael's spot at number one is pretty secure right now. But of course, the conversation becomes who is at number two? Who comes in at number three? We saw ESPN. We talked about a lot, guys, about who is 2 through 10 at this point. Jalen Rose says that LeBron James should not be number two because he did not stop anyone from winning any championships. Let's take a listen to Jalen.
When they were at their apex, how dominant were they amongst their peers? Right now, if you look at Michael Jordan in The Last Dance, you see all of these Hall of Fame players that he stopped from literally winning championships. In this era of basketball, LeBron ain't stopping the great players from winning championships. They're getting their turn. It wasn't no turn in the 90s. MJ snatched them up.
MJ snatched them up for sure. Six championships, zero losses, no game sevens. But LeBron seems to have prevented quite a few guys from getting to the finals and winning championships.
I guess now that I heard Jalen, I understand exactly what he's saying. When you look at despite where he got him at and how he got him, right, Kevin Durant got his championship. How he got it, he got it in Golden State. He was able to get it. He didn't get it in Oklahoma, but he got it. And I understand that that's what Jalen's saying. He didn't prevent them from getting it. Well, Michael Jordan, he stopped Patrick Ewing from getting it. He had to retire for Hakeem Olajuwon to get his. Shaq eventually got his from the Lakers, but not in
Orlando.
Orlando. So I kind of think that's kind of what he's trying to say. You know, Magic had already gotten his when they beat the Lakers, and Worthy had already gotten his when he beat the Lakers. So if that's what he's trying to say, I understand and I get it. If he's saying something different, then he needs to elaborate and explain a little bit more, because LeBron James certainly has won championships and certainly has stopped other people from getting their championships as well. They may not be the great players, because their careers aren't over with yet, like LeBron has so far, has stopped Westbrook, and James Harden, depending on where you rank them and put them in the history of basketball when their careers are over with. Who else am I missing? Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard was going to get his championship. He just happened to get it in Toronto, and LeBron James happened to be in L.A. So it's a little bit fudged, I would say, LZ and Travis. So I kind of understand where Jalen is going, but he needs to give me a little bit more and elaborate a little bit more and give me some meat, leave me some meat on the bone so I can understand better.
So let's see. Patrick Ewing came into the league in 95. He was 23. His last year in the league, he was 39. So is that 16, 17 seasons? I think they faced the Bulls four, maybe five times in the postseason. So this notion that, you know, Jordan stopped Patrick Ewing, he was one of many that stopped Patrick Ewing. And, oh, by the way, Jordan played 15 seasons and won six chips. That means there's a whole lot of guys that can run around and say they stopped Jordan by this rationale. I don't like this rationale, as you can tell. I don't like this rationale because I just don't think that it isn't consistent. It's too wishy-washy. It takes into the account that, you know, Michael Jordan never lost before he had the great runs in the 90s. He lost a lot. Patrick Ewing lost to the Bulls a lot. But Patrick Ewing also lost to the Pistons. He also lost to Reggie Miller and the Pacers. It's like, and this notion that, you know, Michael Jordan stopped Olajuwon. No. They never faced each other in the finals.
Does it have to be in the finals, though? Because,
that's the only place they can play. And Bulls, that's the only place they can meet for a
No, I understand the logistics of it all. But what I'm saying is my read on what Jalen was saying is that Michael was in the way of a whole bunch of guys for about a 10-year window, and he was the reason that a bunch of guys didn't get it. But by that logic, It's the same exact thing for LeBron, that for 8 years in the Eastern Conference, nobody out of the East had a chance to win a championship because LeBron's team was in the way. I think that if we're talking globally, both guys qualify. If we're talking specifically, both guys qualify.
But who would go down in LeBron's era as greats in the East when he played? Like, who would go down other than Detroit? Maybe a Billups, maybe? Who else would go down in that East at the time that LeBron was there? Like, the you know what I'm saying? Like, who's the guy?
Like, who's the Patrick Ewing of that group?
Yeah, who's the Patrick Ewing? Who's the guy in that era? Who's the Isaiah Thomas of that Eastern era for LeBron James?
Well, I mean,
say Dwayne Wade because he was with Dwayne Wade.
That's the difference between the two of them. That's the difference between both of their courses. When you go through the NBA Finals for 8 consecutive seasons – and 9 years in the East.
But could it be that LeBron never really faced anybody in the East?
No, LeBron didn't allow them to be. That's the difference.
But could it be that LeBron didn't face the same caliber of star power in the East at the time that Jordan star power was there when he faced those guys? Whoever that may have been, whether it was the Knicks and Patrick Ewing or whether it was the Sixers and Dr. J or whoever was playing at that time, could it be that that's what he's trying to say?
I don't really know what he's trying to say. I need him to give me more because this is what I know. I know at 22 years old, LeBron James had one of the greatest performances in postseason history when he eliminated the Pistons, who had just won a championship. I know that the Big Three was a fresh trip off the finals when they lost to LeBron James.
But he keeps saying he said Hall of Famers, great players.
The Big Three has three of them.
No, wait, hold on a sec. But who is a Hall of Famer?
Who's the Patrick Ewing?
But the Big Three kind of won right before LeBron got a hold of them. They beat the Lakers.
But the Pistons won before the Bulls got a hold of them.
And I don't think he's saying the Pistons.
I'm struggling to come up with the guy that's the Patrick Ewing. I'm going to be honest. And not that there weren't good players in the Eastern Conference for that 8-year window, because there clearly were. But who is that guy?
I'm
coming up short. Do you have a guy that's that guy? And that's we're just kind of going scenario to scenario, is there a guy that just could never get through? Maybe it wasn't always LeBron James, but is there a guy in the East you're like, that guy just can't get to the finals, can't win his championship, what we talked about with Patrick Ewing?
I think I find this ideal of the one guy not getting through just to be different. And the reason why I'm saying this, and I'm not ducking the question, it's just the landscape of the NBA is different. One of the reasons why you keep turning to Patrick Ewing is because he stayed in New York for so long and they kept having the same battles with the same players repeatedly, season after season after season. That simply isn't the landscape of the NBA. Isn't the landscape of the NBA anymore.
Coach.
I mean, No, I was asked a question. I'm going to answer the question. I understand where you're coming from. There isn't a singular longtime figure like Isaiah Thomas stayed in Detroit for like 13 years, whatever it was, because the NBA's environment is not the same anymore.
But look,
either.
He stayed in the East. Who in the hell is the guy in the East? Dwayne Wade? No, because he won with Shaq. What's the guy? Chris Bosh. No, it's not Chris Bosh because he ain't on the same level as Patrick Ewing. Who's the guy?
I mean, is it a guy like Kyle Lowry or one of the – I mean, this is what
Who's the guy?
I don't know who it is. I can't – there isn't an obvious one, that's for sure. The three of us cannot come up with the one guy. Again, it doesn't just have to be the one guy. Him holding down the Eastern Conference championship for 8 consecutive years
guys from winning championships. Here's one for you. What about Paul Pierce?
He got one.
He got one, though, huh?
Yeah, he got one.
But did he get it? Yeah, he got it. He was in the East. I was about to say he got it. Yeah.
Again, this goes back to what I was saying. How did Paul Pierce get the chip? There was
beat the Lakers.
There was significant player movement first. It wasn't the same mess. It wasn't the same process that Paul Pierce and the Boston Celtics fought year after year after year against LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. No, what ended up happening was Danny Ainge made a trade. He got one of the greatest players in all time, Kevin Garnett, who came over. He got Ray Allen, who came over. And they remade the team basically in one summer. That's not the environment in which Jordan and the Bulls and the Knicks and the Pacers and the Pistons and the Celtics were all playing in. That didn't happen back then. It's different now. And that's my point. It's very hard to make this comparison because the player movement and the way things are done now just aren't the same.
But he still was in the East, and whatever players was deemed as the power brokers of the East is what I'm assuming. I'm answering for Jalen because I'm assuming because I didn't get enough of it. Those were the power brokers in the East, and whoever they were, he did not eliminate them when he was in the East from winning a championship. I guess that's what Jalen is saying.
If Pat Riley had pulled the trigger and traded for, let's say, Clyde Drexler, and then went on and added like Magic Johnson, and then it came and joined the Knicks. That's what we're talking about here.
All I can do is say Paul Pierce made LeBron go run down to Miami because he won the championship and LeBron couldn't figure out how to do it.
You know what it is, though, honestly?
Somewhere else.
Listening to this and listening to this back and forth is that
I'm a LeBron guy, but I'm an MJ guy. Like, you're an Isaiah guy and not an MJ guy. You know, it's one of those things.
Listen to this. Hold on a second.
Here's why this is a stupid rationale, and then I'm going to stop. Again, if you're going to have significant player movements of all-stars and franchise players in this era, that's fine. But you can't compare an era in which you didn't have that movement with the era in which you do have that movement.
Still in the East. If you went to Toronto or Miami, one's cold and one's warm.
Go ahead, Travis.
There is a problem that this comparison has that does neither one of these guys any justice. I'll tell you what it is next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers always there for you rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
We are continuing our conversation about who that second guy in the East was. We'll come back to it in a second as well. But we had our TV dad draft yesterday. Key won the TV mom portion of the draft. Raj, who won the TV dads?
Well, we have a shift in the standing, gentlemen. It looks like LZ Granderson has taken a commanding lead with four victories. He got 44% of
the vote. Wait, hold on, man. I don't understand how this goes. Because the 2 days
play my
ago,
music first before Keyshaw starts complaining.
Yeah, play his respect.
Jorge, you go, yeah. All right, you better turn that down. The security will be escorting you out of the studio.
What security?
But wait, hold on, man. Because yesterday when we did the standings, you said, wait, the poll needs to be, and we got another 3 hours before it closes out. Now all of a sudden, LZ's done closed out.
Well, because it depends when we do them. The prior, the when we did it before, we did it late in the show.
This time we did it.
No, it's legit. LZ is one with 44%. Key, you got 35% of the vote. That's not bad. And then Travis, of course, coming in the rear with 20% of the vote. So that's
yet again the people illustrating that they don't know things. That's fine. I'm very comfortable. I'm very comfortable in my picks. I'm not worried about
Tom Arnold picked me. And come on, man, y'all didn't hear Tom.
Well, Tom liked your Herman Munster pick, and then he picked two of my guys.
No,
LZ had a strong one. Uncle Phil, first round pick. Al Bundy, he picked. George Jefferson, of course, he got back to back on the snake draft. And then I thought this would hurt you, the West Wing one with President Josh.
Why would one of the greatest TV shows in TV history hurt me?
I don't think people looked at your third. It was just strength off your first three. No one looked at your fourth.
Yes, it was the strength off the first three because I ain't watching no damn West Wing political mess.
You are one of few people who did not watch The West Wing.
I didn't watch it either.
Few people, my friend.
Did you watch it, Raj?
No, I did not.
Jorge, did you watch it?
No, I only watched novelas.
Yeah, all right.
Why are you asking me?
Because I already know you watched it. Yeah, you sit there thinking that that's the way the country's supposed to be run. I get it.
Well, I have a feeling if you watched it, you would think so too. I'm just saying. I just put it out there. You might be surprised.
You can't run it. You can't run it like a sitcom, whatever, a drama. How you gonna run it like that?
The West Wing was nominated for 277 awards, winning 87 of them. This including 26 Emmys, 20 Golden Globes. Yeah, y'all go ahead.
All right.
Y'all go ahead.
Let's go back to Jordan and LeBron for a second. You know, it's funny because listening to the conversation, listening to what Jalen said, listening to the inevitable Jordan or MJ thing that's been going on for the better part of 10 years at this point. It every time I get into it, every time I hear other people get into it, it feels wrong because inevitably it turns into this guy is less than that guy. Both of these guys have accomplished extraordinary things. Are they exactly the same? No. Are they playing? Do that stylistically? Is it different? Of course it is. But every time I hear, LeBron didn't have anybody in the East, or Michael got knocked. We're going to penalize Michael for not getting to the finals, and he got knocked out earlier. It's just this thing that they're both unbelievable talents. They're slightly different along the way, but the conversation of should this guy be above that guy, it always feels dirty because you end up dumping on one of those two guys.
That's true. But this is where we're at. We are in sports, and this is the things that we got to talk about. Do I think LeBron James is one of the greatest players of all time? Absolutely. Is he better than Michael Jordan? Who knows, man? At the end of the day, we're going to enjoy them both. At least I've had the pleasure to enjoy them both, had the pleasure to eat dinner with them both, see them, understand them, have shoes of both. So it's for me, it's like, okay, I don't want to get into he's better than him. As I always go down in history as saying, there's only one guy in the history of team sport to me that's superior than everybody else in that position.
One other guy, Key. I know you're going to say Jerry Rice. There's one other guy.
Give me the
Wayne
other
Gretzky.
Guy.
Wayne Gretzky. Well, there's no one within a million miles of that guy.
I'm not educated enough on that type of sport to really be giving you some knowledge of it. But in basketball and football, I am.
He is the Jerry Rice of his sport, and maybe even above that.
You're giving me the great one who scored 9,000 goals because people blocked for him and all. I got it. But to the people that we talking to, the majority of the people we talking to, they don't know that either. They know Michael Jordan and Jerry Rice, or LeBron James and Jerry Rice. They know who great one is, like I know, but I don't know. I couldn't tell you how to skate on ice. I couldn't tell you how to hit the puck. I couldn't tell you anything like that. But Jerry Rice, at that position, ain't nobody close. I understand we want, Moss and T.O., they got numbers. No. That was different. That was different. Just like Michael Jordan, just like LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, the Cap. I was looking at something tonight or earlier today. Oh, LZ's story, matter of fact. LZ has a great story in the L.A. Times talking about Magic Johnson. The first dance, not the last dance for Magic Johnson when he opened up a can of you-know-what on the Philadelphia 76ers. It's a shot of the sky hook, and I think that was Caldwell Jones and Bobby Jones standing there looking lost with the cap. The cap armpits was on top of Caldwell Jones's forehead. And the extension, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at this picture, and I'm saying to myself this morning, damn, he was hitting sky hooks bottom of the net. I just don't even understand how you were able to do that like that. You know, where you looking now, Steph Curry is dropping down dimes on jumpers. The cap was doing sky hooks from damn near at the three-point line. Swing left, what was it? Swing left, shoot right, hook a 19. You know, it was like, and so you can argue who was better. You go back into the 70s, in the 60s, I swear to you, all of the older guys around me going to tell me, man, you don't know nothing about no damn Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. How you going to leave him out the conversation? I mean, they got a point. They got a point.
I get exhausted for trying to compare, you know, Magic and Isaiah and Kobe and Shaq. And it's like this constant need to rank who these guys are. And within eras, sure, you can try to do it. But once you get beyond the eras, it just gets too difficult. I mean, even just ESPN's, you know, top 10 list, you know, we all know that, like, Kevin Durant is infinitely better than Larry Bird, but that we also know these are different eras. And so Larry Bird gets to nod being in the top 10, where KD is on the outside looking in. But in reality, there's not a GM anywhere in the world that would have picked Larry Bird over KD today.
Well, it also goes to a lot of people sour on KD based on his personality and double Twitter accounts and burner phones and all the different. So people sour on that, right? They look at that. Oh, he had to leave and go join the. He had to leave and go join Golden State to win his championship. Then he left again to go to Brooklyn. So they do all of that sort of stuff instead of looking at the facts of he is a Kevin Durant is better than Larry Bird from my eyes. If you saw him and you put him next to him in a draft room, they certainly would take Kevin Durant over Larry Bird. But because everything else that comes with it, I'm sure whoever was making these choices factors some of that into it self-consciously.
Well, of course. I mean, the era is everything because Larry Bird dominated the 80s with Magic Johnson. They dominate. Kevin Durant has been a miraculous player, won championships in Golden State, won an MVP. He's a fantastic player as well, but his level of domination has not been equal to a guy like Magic or Jordan or other things. He's a better player than Larry Bird. I agree with you guys, but the impact on the league and whether the whole league ran through one or two guys at that time, Kevin Durant, until he got to Golden State, was not that guy, and he joined one of those teams that is a direct result of the era in which they played.
So he's
yeah, of course, but he's a guy that when he went to Golden State, when he went there, it was in the midst of this changing of the guard in the NBA where the players got to decide where they were going to go. The players determined who they were going to meet up with, as opposed to you just, okay, you landed in this city, you played for this team for a long period of time. Maybe at the end you'd move somewhere else. It's different because KD is going to be penalized, I would argue unfairly, is going to be penalized because he went and joined Klay and Steph in Golden State.
And it's a silly narrative. It's such a silly-ass narrative because the truth of the matter is, if Bob Myers had worked out a trade and gotten KD, no one would have punished KD. They would have been like, oh, Bob Myers, you're a genius. You're an amazing GM.
You're right, LZ. But because who KD is, people would have still tried to find a crack or a crease to create something because of who he is. You know, it's one of those things, because I've lived it as a professional athlete. They always are looking for that little bit of crease to try. Even though you're traded, like I was to Tampa Bay, I didn't ask to be traded. All I asked for was an opportunity to redo my deal. I never said I wanted out of New York, but then the moment that you leave, you left because of this, or you did that, or you was this. It's like, well, I didn't ask to leave. What are you talking about? They would do KD the same way because they just don't like him. So when you don't like somebody, you find a way to create a problem for that person. That's the reality of it, and you know that, LZ.
Did the Browns really say no to a trade for Russell Wilson? Is that the most Browns thing ever? That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. So much about success as an athlete, Key, has to do with being a little bit lucky, landing with the right team, landing with the right coach, being around other really good players at a time. And if you're a little unlucky, who knows what happens? And I don't know if there's anybody that is more unlucky or just flat out bad at what they do than the Cleveland Browns. There's a story floating around out there that the Seahawks and the Browns back in 2018 started talking about a trade that Russell Wilson would go to Cleveland in exchange for the number one overall pick back in 2018. That pick ended up being Baker Mayfield. But you start doing the what if scenarios. What if Russell Wilson had left Seattle to go to Cleveland?
Then Russell Wilson be in trouble.
Or could he have fixed it?
No, you have to be in a space. Look, I like Russell Wilson. Okay, I think he's a really good quarterback. I like his abilities because of his size, and there's some things that hinder him at times because of his size.
But
he certainly have done a tremendous job for Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks. He is one guy that you are afraid of at the end of games because the Houdini-like attitude and the things that he does on the field and his performances. With that being said, right place, right time, right circumstances when he went from Wisconsin to the Green Bay Packers. I mean, to the Seattle Seahawks when the Green Bay Packers decided to allow, what was it, Matt Flynn, I think his name was, to go to Seattle for a big free agency deal which made no sense at the time for anybody that know anything about football. And once Pete Carroll got a real look at that quarterback after paying him, he said, no, I'm just going with this dude. I don't care how much money you have. So right place, right situation, like you said. If he goes to Cleveland in a trade, Freddie Kitchens is his coach. Okay? So now what? Because Hugh Jackson would have gotten fired because the same thing that happened when Hugh Jackson was the coach of Baker Mayfield would have happened if Hugh Jackson was the coach and he had Russell Wilson. It wouldn't have changed. It would have been the same thing. And then you get fired because you had problems with your staff and y'all was bickering and fighting and Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley and they couldn't get along, so everybody got blew out. The next year, he got Freddie Kitchens. Now what? I understand that that's out there in the universe and there was conversations that was had. But were those conversations real? Or were those those conversations to spook Russell Wilson into signing a deal?
Well, he got a deal with a no contract clause. We'll come back to that in a second. But as far as the conversations being real, according to Tim Hasselbeck, they were very real. Here he is.
I do know that they were definitely talks about Russell Wilson being traded back then. Yes. I don't know if it was just the Browns or where else that went, but yeah.
Well, what more can you tell me? The interruption is appreciated. What more can you tell me?
Well, I just think that told by people in the organization that would know, I think the comment was they were looking at some players in that draft, and some of the players that they were looking at, I was surprised because of where they were picking. It was like, well, why would you be looking at these players? Basically, it was going to be an effort to get a bunch of picks and obviously move way up. And, Russell Wilson, would have helped make that happen. And then, I wasn't thinking Russell when the guy made the comment to me and, originally, and then kind of talked with him and someone else, after that and, kind of came up like, hey, the name might surprise you. Like, hey, it's not Bobby Wagner. It's a big name, but it's not Bobby Wagner. It was the comment back then. And
so what, let's start from the Browns, Key. Why wouldn't you do it? What if somebody says to you, here's a guy that's a Super Bowl winning quarterback, a guy that has been to another Super Bowl, all the things that you described about kind of the Houdini act at the end of the games, he's a good decision maker, he can run, he can pass, he doesn't take a bunch of hits. Why would you not want that and then go into the draft with a giant unknown? Because Baker Mayfield's been okay, but he's certainly not Russell Wilson.
Russell, and you might have to give him $200 million. That's number one.
Just economics.
That's part of it. And you may not feel the number one overall pick may only been one thing for Russell. Maybe they was asking for some other stuff, too, that you wasn't willing to part ways with. At that time, they had the one and the four. They might have been saying, give me your one and your four. Give me a two, a three, and a five, because they're trying to manipulate some stuff in the draft. And at the end of the day, John Dorsey probably said, nah, man, I'm cool. We'll give you our four because we might want to hang on to our one. So you don't really know. These things, conversations on players come up all the time just in passing, And a lot of it sometimes it can be tongue-in-cheek. Hey, man, what do you want for LZ Granderson? Well, make me an offer. Yeah, you're going to get rid of him. You're going to get rid of him? Yeah, well, make me an offer.
Who have you been talking to? Those trade rumors have been in the works.
How about a bag of chips?
Ooh,
no!
It's in a kettle. I'm worth kettle chips.
I can't give you chips because it that's too much. Just give him a Starburst.
the thing that I think that, to me,
but it's fascinating. His name is even mentioned.
To me, the hardest story isn't Cleveland screwing up as much as it is. The Seahawks were willing to trade their franchise QB and start over to avoid money. That, to me, is the story. It's not, whether or not Cleveland did the right thing and not making the trade.
But I don't know. I don't know.
The story, to me, is really the Seattle Seahawks had a Super Bowl winning QB who was in MVP conversations midway through his, early part of his career, and they were willing to move him, looks like because of money. And nothing else.
I don't think it was money. I think if anything, it was probably a tactic to just negotiating tactic. Hear your name out there. Oh, they're really gonna trade me. Man, I better. Even though he got a no trade clause, doesn't mean anything. You signed him to a 4-year deal with all this money. That's going to expire in a minute. So me trading you in the next 4 years doesn't really matter because the salary cap number that I got is going to explode on you anyway, so you're not even going to be able to trade me.
I guess it's the same thing. But I get that there's some money involved in the
And hold on one sec. And I got a no-trade clause in a football contract with $135 million of guaranteed money over 4 years. It's cute to be able to say I got a no-trade clause. It's really cute.
Okay, the cuteness aside, money aside, I think we all agree that the number one thing you have to have to win a championship is you got to have a pretty competent quarterback. You don't have to have the best quarterback in the league, but you got to have a certain level of competency, and Russell Wilson certainly meets that threshold. Why would you want to mess around with that piece when it seems like that's the hardest piece to find, too? To go out and find another guy that can bring you that level of play at that position, there's no guarantee you're going to find another one. As they kind of stumbled into Russell Wilson as they did, why would you ever want to move on from that guy?
Well, because just the money? You not necessarily. See, it's hard for me to believe that they were actually going to do it. It's a negotiation tactic, or it's going to see what can I – can I get your whole – can I get a Mike Ditka New Orleans Saints draft? Can I get every pick you got? I mean, that's what it boils down to. It's gamesmanship, man. They playing games until such due time that somebody really wants to do it. Then they go, oh, no, we're not looking to do that.
I wish they would have. I wish Russell Wilson were in the AFC North as opposed to the NFC West. I'm tired of seeing that guy two times a year running around doing what he does to the Rams. All right. The baseball negotiations are not going great, but it does appear that we're still on track to get some baseball at some point. The Universal DH is coming to the National League. Who's best set up for it? We'll tell you next on the Morning Show on 710 ESPN.